and bids that go right up your nose. They're quite impressive, I suppose.
Well, they say never judge a book by its cover, but what about a man's beard? We're going to talk about what a man's beard might say about him and discuss the current culture of men's facial hair styles this morning. Good morning, John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network. My guest this hour is Alan Peterkin, physician, author, and university professor based in Toronto. He's a consultant for men's grooming companies such as Dove Men Plus Hair, Dove Men Plus Care, Braun, Phillips, and Wall. Additionally, he's the author of the bestseller 1,000 Beards and was featured in a recent Yahoo.com article titled What a Guy's Facial Hair Says About Him. Dr. Peterkin, welcome to the Joy Cardine program.
Good morning. I'm a big NPR fan.
Well, good. And just for the record, I did not shave before I came in today, so I'm sporting a little stubble, although it's kind of gray. So what does a guy's facial hair say about it? Well, let's talk about beards are kind of trendy today. That's a trend that kind of comes and goes in cycles, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I think this trend started about 20 years ago with sort of grunge and then the goatee. And then it just took off like wildfire. But I think we're maybe towards the end of it. Probably in the next couple of years, it'll probably swing back to clean shaven.
And what, what determines how these things come and go? I mean, is there, because we've seen, if you look at pictures of men for the last, say, 150 years or so, you see different styles of facial hair, and sometimes clean shaven is in and sometimes not. What are the factors that kind of are at play here in determining whether we should let our facial hair grow or not?
Well, historically, men would take their cues from authority figures. So, you know, if your king had a beard or your president had a beard or your clergyman, then you'd probably follow that lead. And it was sort of wrapped up with kind of class and so on. Now, guys pretty much take their cues from pop culture, so that would be athletes and musicians and actors and so on. So that seems to be what's sort of informing the choices of men nowadays. But I think men have more freedom now to grow facial hair. Like, certainly our grandfathers probably could not have had any kind of facial hair in the workplace. But now we're pretty much, in North America at least, free to have whatever we want in our faces.
Okay, so what's the most popular type of facial hair these days?
The most popular and the one that probably most men can carry off successfully is stubble. So you see that, you know, if you look in sports magazines and men's magazines like Esquire and GQ, probably every third face has some kind of stubble. And I guess the only problem with stubble is that guys think it doesn't take any work, but it actually probably takes about as much work as shaving to keep up.
Well, and for some people, and I would be one of them, if I have stubble, I mainly look homeless. Do we see authority figures taking cues from pop culture these days? I mean, you commented that men in general used to take their beard cues from people like the president or the king or whoever. Are today's authority figures taking the same cues from pop culture? I mean, I feel like it was a big deal when Jay Carney had a beard.
That's right. Well, not so much, as a matter of fact. So the two exceptions to that rule, you know, that sort of guys are free to do what they want, would be the financial industry, sort of banking, and then politics. And the reason for that is still about 50% of people looking at a bearded face will say, this guy's got something to hide. So obviously, you know, your investment counselor and your local politician don't want to take the chance of losing votes, so they remain, you know, really clean-shaven.
Are beards something that we can kind of be neutral about, or do you either like them or you don't? I had to grow some facial hair for a play I was in once, and my wife hated it, and everybody else really liked it, and it wasn't like there was anybody who was in between. People were saying, "Oh, that beard looks great," or, you know, "Wow, you look old." But is that something we can be neutral about, or is it kind of like sauerkraut? You either like it or you don't.
I think like sauerkraut. You either like it or you don't. I mean, I just think people aren't neutral. They have associations to beards. So a guy might have one intention with growing a beard. I want to look like so-and-so. But somebody else reading his face will say, ooh, you make me think of Bin Laden. You know, so you just can't know how your face will be read. And people really do have strong reactions, I think.
Do we have any idea why we have these kinds of reactions to men's facial hair?
Well, it's pretty much culturally and historically determined, right? And also generational. So, for example, if you look at women, college women now have pretty much grown up with brothers and dads and uncles and boyfriends who had facial hair. So they're actually quite accepting of it and find it quite attractive. Whereas, again, if you were to ask their grandmothers, they'd say, you know, this just has all kinds of bad associations for me. I always joke that, you know, when you look at a beard, the guy is either Santa or he's Satan, depending on who's looking at him.
Or he's auditioning for a part on Duck Dynasty.
Well, that's right, yeah.
Let's talk about some notable figures in history who may have influenced beard popularity in their day. Can you name any for us?
Yeah, well, you know, I think we can think of Moses and we can think of Jesus. Much later, we can think of Sigmund Freud. You know, George Bernard Shaw. So there are some figures that really stand out, and actually, you kind of think of their beards when you conjure them up in your mind. The beard for generations of men was really not just it wasn't a fashion statement per se. It was like a limb, and you probably know people and your listeners too. A guy who's always had a beard or always had a mustache, and he'd no sooner shave it off than you know, cut off his arm.
Well, and some people, when you've never seen them without facial hair, they shave it off, and it's like, wow, who's that person?
Well, that's right, and there actually have been cases of divorce historically, like queens dumping their husbands because he comes home shaven, and she doesn't like what she sees. So I always say, you know, either extreme, if you've had a long time, you know, beard, or you've been long time clean shaven, consult your mate before you do any major experiments. And I also think it's a good idea to talk to your barber, because barbers will tell you, I think, honestly, you know, this little experiment looks kind of ridiculous on you.
Well, and that is, I mean, yes, some do. But, okay, let's talk about, say, the difference between a beard and a mustache. I mean, it's all facial hair, but mustaches have had their own trends. And you think about fictional figures with mustaches. Who could think of Hercule Poirot without his little mustache?
Exactly, exactly. So it's interesting to think about the history of the mustache, because it's always had a bit of a bad rap, particularly, you know, sort of in North America. Say, with the exception of the military, parts of Europe as well. And, you know, in my book I talk about the three Fs, you know. Back in the day, if you had a mustache, you were either a fop, meaning, you know, a bit like Hercule Poirot, a little too stylish and maybe a bit of feet. You were a foreigner, or you were a fiend. And those became the associations of the mustache for a long time. There were some exceptions, you know, in Hollywood, you know, in the 20s and 30s, the mustache was kind of debonair. But it generally had a bad rap. And then you hit the 70s. And the mustache really got sexualized, you know. So you were either, you know, a swinger, a porn star. You were, people thought maybe you're gay or bi, because the mustache was really embraced by the gay community for a while. So the average guy just thought, I don't really want to be misread in any of those ways. So the mustache was gone, right? From the 70s on, you just didn't see it, with the odd exception, right, of celebrities for whom it was a trademark. But then, you know, it was sort of the final frontier of this wave of facial hair, because it's kind of back, and you see young men wearing it, and they expect it to be a conversation starter. I mean, a guy who has a young man with a mustache now is going to be asked like it, just like a pregnant lady is going to be asked about her belly. It's sort of unusual enough, the mustache, that is, that the guy's going to get asked about it.
We're talking about men's facial hair trends this morning on the Joy Cardine program. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine. We're going to take a break, and wondering what you think. Guys, do you have a beard? Do you like it? Or do you think beards are in or out of style? Ladies, do you like a beard on a man? What's it say about him? What do people say about your facial hair style or lack thereof? And is there some figure or celebrity you think has facial hair you could call iconic? Let's find out. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234 is the toll-free number. You can also reach us via email, talk@WPR.org. talk@WPR.org. And the Joy Cardine Show is on Facebook. Go to that page and leave a comment or question there. And it, you know what? I'll also suggest, if you've got facial hair, post a picture of your facial hair on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I think that would be kind of cool. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
I got a beard, and you help me groom it.
We're talking men's facial hair today on the Ideas Network. John Munson in for Joy Cardine. My guest is Dr. Alan Peterkin, who's an expert on facial hair. And he wrote an article for Yahoo.com titled, What a Guy's Facial Hair Says About Him, and that was the genesis for this program. Also wondering what you think at 800-642-1234. Let's go to the phones and take a call from Dan up north in Drummond. Dan, good morning.
Good morning. Now, for me, the reason I wear a beard is because when you work in the wintertime outside, it keeps the face warm in the winter, and it keeps it cool in the summertime.
Keeps it cool in the summertime. Now, that seems counterintuitive, that covering your face with hair would keep you cooler. How does that work?
Well, it's since it's covered, there's no way the sun or the heat can get to the face then.
Oh, I see. And how long have you had a beard, Dan?
Since I was 18 years old, and I'm a 63.
All right. And what do people say about it? I mean, what would people say if you shaved it off? Let's say, you lost a bet and you had to shave it off.
I have shaved it off, and I didn't like it.
Okay.
And I've had people out there say, oh, you look great. I said, I'm me. I've been wearing a beard for a long time, and that's the way I like it.
That's just you. Dr. Peterkin, what about
Dan? You're what I call a lifer. You know, you've been committed to your beard, and it's become part of who you are. And, I think, obviously, from an evolutionary point of view, you're absolutely right that, you know, we grew beards to protect us from the elements. I guess the only thing I'd say is that the beard doesn't protect us from the sun. So, you know, guys should still use a bit of sunscreen or a moisturizer with sunscreen, because you can still get damage to the skin and risk for skin cancer through a beard. So that's just one thought.
Okay. Dan, thanks thanks so much for that call. So we've said that stubble is kind of leading the charge as far as that's the most popular kind of facial hair, and also difficult really to maintain well. Mustaches have come and gone. There's an industry devoted to men's grooming that does well when we wear a lot of facial hair, because it requires attention and special implements. Is there, which suggests to me that the companies that make that equipment might want to market beards as being something desirable for men.
Well, I think what happened is, you know, again, the mid to late 90s. Shaving companies, be they electric, razor companies or blade companies making blades, started to panic a bit, because obviously this was a huge trend. You know, it was a time as Victorian times. And I think what they decided is, you know, if we can't beat them, join them. So they started length, wanted to clip your stubble too, and all kinds of implements that allowed you to have facial hair, but you still need product to maintain it. I think what's interesting nowadays, though, is that men are, especially young men, are going back and forth. Like our caller, who, you know, had his beard for a very long time. You find guys growing beards, you know, when they're changing jobs or leaving relationships, or playoff beards, you know, in sports seasons and so on. So I think it speaks to kind of freedom.
Dr. Peterkin, we're having a problem with your phone connection.
Let me just change locales here. But, yeah.
That's better. Thank you.
Okay. Sure.
So, okay, let's Let's take another phone call here. Let's go to Jackie in Milwaukee. Jackie, good morning.
Good morning. My 14-year-old son, when he was 14, he's now 23, started growing a beard very early, and he was too lazy to shave it. And all of his classmates thought that he was just so cool because he could grow a beard. By the time he was a senior, it was a full beard. And his classmates suggested that his beard should have its own Facebook page. And he shaved it off just before graduation and went into a class, and the teacher did not know who he was. So, you're right. Young men can go back and forth, and he's gone back and forth several times, but he usually winds up going back to the beard.
Well, that's really interesting because, you know, he's lucky. Because facial hair is so popular, some young men can't grow it, right, or can't grow it properly. So I'm blonde, and my beard comes in a little patchy. Asian men often don't grow full beards, and American Indian men don't. And so there's a thing I call beard envy, right, where young men are really jealous that they can't get that full beard. And so much so that actually in places like Saudi Arabia, there's a huge industry in beard transplants because you need a beard, you know, to play certain roles in business and so on, and culturally and religiously. So, you're lucky if you can grow that full beard.
Hmm. Yeah, I wasn't able to really grow a beard to speak of until I was in my 50s. Then it mostly came in gray. Do we see differences in how people of different ages respond to facial hair trends?
Yes, I think so. So I think, you know, older generations, if you keep in mind, after both world wars, men came back and were clean-shaven, and it was part of, you know, an all-American, all-Canadian ethos to be sort of mad men, clean-shaven, a team player. You know, it suggested kind of a sportiness and so forth. And then what happened after that is sort of every decade after the Second World War had its little pocket of facial hair. So, you know, in the 50s you had beatniks, in the 60s you had hippies, in the 70s you had the mustache that I talked about, the 80s you had sort of designer stubble from Miami Vice, and then, as I said, in the 90s, all hell broke loose, really, in terms of everything under the sun being sprouted. But you do see that you know, older people have more negative associations to, well, you know, not all, but many, to the beard because, again, they grew up with a very clean-shaven ethos.
Let's try and get a quick call in before the news. Sean in Kenosha, we'll go to you next, but be brief, please. We're almost at news time.
Sure. Good morning. The guest kind of stole my thunder about facial transplants in the Middle East for beards. But kind of on a tangential note, I've also seen hair transplants for chest hair, you can imagine. So.
Yikes.
Yeah. No, I've heard of that too, and I, you know, yeah. It's funny. You know, there was a time I think in the 80s where men would shave their bodies because they wanted, you know, they got into bodybuilding and they wanted to show their definition and so on, and their faces were clean shaven and so forth. But now a guy needs to be hairy, you know, on his body, on his chest, and on his face. So, again, just showing how these things cycle back and forth.
So the bear look is in, and I don't mean B-A-R-E, I mean B-E-A-R.
That's right. Cuddly, yeah.
Yeah, okay. We're talking about beards with Dr. Alan Peterkin, men's facial hair, what it says about you. Lots of we apparently draw a lot of conclusions about people from how they wear their facial hair, what it means if you have a mustache as opposed to maybe a goatee, or I don't know. Do you think the spade is going to make a comeback as a beard style?
Well, we've seen it. You know, I think guys got clever. And they started looking up at these historical styles. And believe me, I have seen, since the mid-90s when I started researching this, everything imaginable.
Yeah.
Including the spade. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, you had ZZ Top as a precursor to the Swamp People and Duck Dynasty with those kind of waist-length chin whiskers. And
mountain beards, I call them. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and then you had Professor Dumbledore in the Harry Potter films with the long beard with the knot in the bottom of it.
Right.
Yeah. That didn't look good.
No. But we're talking about it, right? And I remember when I think it was Brad Pitt started putting elastic bands in his beard for some movie. You know, and that's the other thing, is the internet has such an influence. If a man of prominence, some pop culture figure, does something interesting with facial hair, it sweeps the world, and he gets a lot of imitators.
Mm-hmm. We're going to break for news, and when we come back, we'll talk more about facial hair through history and what it means about us today. We have lots to talk about, a lot of phone calls coming in. You could be one of them at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. After the news, I want to talk about beard competitions, because we see and hear about those all the time as well. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Men's facial hair. Sometimes it's in, sometimes it's out, sometimes it's just on. We're talking about your beard, guys, and what it might say about you, whether you want it to or not. My guest is Dr. Alan Peterkin, who's a physician, author, and university professor based in Toronto. He's also a men's grooming consultant for Dove Men's Plus Care, Braun, Phillips, and Wall. Additionally, he's the author of the best-selling book, 1,000 Beards, and was featured in a recent Yahoo.com article titled, What Guy's Facial Hair Says About Him. We have an email, Dr. Peterkin, that I found, well, amusing. I'll share it here, and then you can comment on it. John in La Crosse emails, I am so tired of seeing guys with a goatee and a shaved head. One time I was at a business meeting with five guys with shaved heads and goatees. I felt like I was at some meeting of a cult. That seems to be another trend, shaved head and facial hair. It's kind of like your hair kind of slid off your head onto your chin.
Well, it's interesting. You know, bald guys, men have been able to use facial hair to kind of play up their strengths, you know, on their faces, or play down their weaknesses. So just like women have worn makeup and changed their hairstyles, guys have been able to do things with their beards. So a lot of bald guys would grow a beard to kind of balance things out a bit. But I guess what your listener is talking about is, yeah, the shaved look with a goatee. And I think what happens is, you know, when that look first came out, it caused a bit of a sensation. It was unusual, you know, it looked very masculine, kind of tough. But now these things get ubiquitous. It's sort of like, you know, back when there was a middle-aged ponytail, you know, all the guys grew that. This can be the same thing, the goatee. And as one young man I interviewed for my book said, you know, when your dad and your dentist have a goatee, it's time to change your look.
Oh, that's priceless. You mentioned that a beard was no real sure protection against the ravages of the sun. Are there some other skincare aspects to men's facial hair? And are the companies that manufacture personal care products kind of jumping on this as well?
Well, you see, I think what happens, because men go back and forth from shaving to growing, it makes really good sense to find a simple line, you know, where you can wash your face, you can shave, and you can moisturize after. And as you mentioned, I've been doing some consulting to Dove Men Plus Care. So I think, you know, guys want a line that's easy to use. But I think a common error is that men think that shaving should hurt, you know, whereas there are excellent shaving gels that make it a comfortable experience. And then they really don't think about washing their faces carefully and then moisturizing after. And you want a moisturizer or, you know, a face lotion that has SPF protection because you do want to avoid skin cancer and damage to the skin.
What's the popular impression of what we would think of a guy who uses face lotion?
Well, it's really changed. You know, I think men have always borrowed their wives and girlfriends, you know, moisturizer. But, you know, it was often heavily scented or, you know, a bit heavy or whatever. So, I think, you know, as men started to be more aware about their physical selves, their bodies, that grooming really followed. And there was that whole thing about, you know, the metrosexual who was kind of obsessed by grooming. But I think pretty much now the average guy accepts that if he's going to take care of his body, have a decent sort of professional look, that he's also going to take good care of his facial hair and of his skin. I don't think anybody casts aspersions on that anymore, but there was a time where, you know, moisturizer, for example, was kind of a bad word for men.
Mm-hmm. And we also see a lot of advertising for hair color products designed for the beard.
Well, that's right. And you mentioned, you know, that your own beard comes in white now, and mine, it comes in gray, and it can really age you. So I'm clean shaven nowadays. Mm-hmm. But for sure, that's the other thing is that we have generations of men in their 40s and 50s who are going gray on the beard. And again, the companies have been smart, and they said, oh, here's a niche market. No guy wants to look old on his beard, so let's give him all these, you know, dyes and potions that can restore his previous color.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a phone call. We'll go to Mark in Colfax. Mark, good morning.
Hello. Good morning. I've had a beard since 1980. I wear a full beard, but trim short, not stubble, but short because I'm a meat cutter. I've never had an inspector say I had to wear a beard net because I keep it short enough. Interesting, though, when it went from red to salt and pepper, people kind of considered me distinguished looking. Mm. And now that it's getting more and more white, I'm kind of more like the old fart in town.
Well, you know, that salt and pepper, that whole distinguished thing, I tried to sell that to my wife when she objected to my facial hair. And Mark, I got to tell you, she wasn't buying that. She said, you look extinguished.
Oh, ouch!
Yeah, Mark. Thanks for the call. What about how do beards fit into the business world? I mean, Mark's a meat cutter, but what about beards in the boardroom? Do we see a beard trend among CEOs and big time players?
You really don't. You know, in general, you don't, because again, I think the ethos has been sort of clean-cut, team player, well-groomed, expensive suits, you know, all of that.
Yeah, Brooks Brothers, right.
Exceptions. Like, sometimes you'll see a guy, and I'm blanking on a name, but there are some, you know, top businessmen in the U.S. and U.K. who are kind of like the lone wolves. They're at the top of their game, and they get to wear a beard. They're the alphas, and they've got the facial hair, but nobody else in the office gets to wear it or has it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, occupationally, it's interesting. So, your caller mentioned as a meat cutter, you know, he couldn't have a long beard. In professions where you have to wear a safety mask, you know, like firemen and so on, often you're not allowed to have a beard because you need that tight seal for the mask.
Mm-hmm.
So there always have been kind of occupational regulations on facial hair for practical reasons, really.
Yeah, radio guys don't really have to worry about that very much, unless we start leaving hair on the microphone, then people object.
Exactly.
Let's take another call before we have to go to break. We'll go to Chuko in Harmony. Chuko, good morning.
Hi, it's Chukuma.
Oh, okay, it didn't show up on my screen. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'll try to be real quick here. The bald guys with the goatee thing, I mean, and the earrings is very genie-like. From the bottle, it's gotten so repetitive that, you know, I think it's lost its impact. I have a full beard. I've had facial hair since I was 14. And in the 30s and 40s, men had the mustache deal with the fedoras and the double-breasted suit, which I really liked. That's when men really dressed. Today, everything is blue jeans. I dye my beard. It's been colors that you probably have never even imagined. And I like it. I'm always that I've had hair on my face since I was 14. I just like it. I think it's sexy. It's a good look. I think facial hair is a good thing. It got a bad rap for a while because it was associated a lot with the Muslim thing. A lot of men there and the assassins back in the days of like King Arthur and stuff. What did they call them? I forget. But a lot of them were bearded. Bearded guys were always like, there was a suspicion about you if you had a beard. It wasn't, you know, for a while, I think we went through that. But I'm glad that now that, you know, men are feeling free to have facial hair or not and to experiment with it. I think it's real interesting, this chest hair transplant thing. Mm-hmm. Makes me wonder how men are feeling, though, about Brazilians.
Oh.
Well, there are always cultural associations, you know, and so, Middle Eastern men, Mediterranean men have always worn more facial hair than we have in the West, so there are these culture variations. I like what you said about dyeing your beard strange colors, because there are historical precedents for that. You know, the Assyrians and the Hittites and so on would dye their beards, you know, gold or bright red, or the Gauls, for example, would have, you know, very colorful droopy mustaches. So, you know, real statements. And then finally what you said about, you know, the genie in the bottle look. I think any style that starts with a bit of edge can be overdone. And look at tattoos now. You know, tattoos used to kind of have a real message and you'd pay attention. And now everybody has a tattoo. So there's the sense that these kind of edgy statements lose their edge when they become just, you know, overly adapted by people.
Yeah, when everybody's got one, they aren't quite as interesting as maybe they used to be.
That's
what about,
right.
We'll come back to that. There's a thought I want to capture that Chukoma had there. Thanks, Chukoma, for the call. Sorry I blew your name at the start. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll have more about facial hair and men and what it means and all of that other stuff. 800-642-1234 is the number to call to join the program. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
I got a beard, and you help me groom it. I got a beard.
Men's facial hair, trends in, trends out, all sorts of changes through history, and a whole industry has probably grown up around beard maintenance. We're talking about men's facial hair, what it says about us as men, if we have it or if we don't have it. Dr. Alan Peterkin is my guest. One of the things Chukoma was talking about, he said he really liked the days when there was neat facial hair, maybe a nice, well-cared-for mustache, and men dressed up more. They wore, you know, more suits and ties and they just looked sharper. It was part of the total look. What did you make of that?
Well, I think, I think facial hair is part of the performance of what it is to be male. You know, it really is kind of a performance. And, there were times when there were very elegant. And, again, I think back to Victorian times. Think of those gentlemen, you know, with fine suits and pocket watches and big, you know, sideburns and bushy beards, but always well-maintained and perfectly waxed. You know, so men were really, you know, making a statement of elegance. And mm-hmm. I think some men are still, but I think things have gone much more casual.
There's one of our listeners, Jamie, has posted a picture of himself with a goatee and a light 3-day stubble on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You can go there and see it. I changed my Facebook profile picture to one when I was wearing a beard a number of years ago. And we're getting some nice Facebook comments as well. Let's see. Bob writes on Facebook, I tried growing a beard in high school, and it looked pretty silly on me due to its many gaps in coverage. Since then, I generally grow a full beard in the fall until about spring, and then go down to a goatee for the warmer weather months. And That's probably a trend with a lot of people who wear beards. But I think a lot of us, when we first started trying to grow a beard in high school, I mean, especially those who maybe had lighter hair color, had that problem with gaps in the coverage.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, you kind of quickly find out what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are. And I think that thing about, you know, growing seasonally, men are just naturally doing that. You know, you go off on a fishing trip and you don't shave and you come back with stubble. And the other interesting thing is guys are doing kind of combo experiments. So they might have a base of stubble and then really grow out a soul patch or big sideburns or the goatee on, like the picture you mentioned, goatee on top of stubble that, you know, that there are kind of endless permutations and combinations, which keeps it fun, I think.
Well, one of the other things that Bob says, I had to scroll down to get the rest of his Facebook comment. He says, this summer I'm trying to see how long I can get my white goatee to grow. It's fun to try various iterations as long as my wife approves. Actually, she prefers me with a beard because it's much softer than a stubbly chin.
That's right. So I interviewed, you know, women about stubble, and most of them think it's a really sort of hot, in quotes, hot look. They like the way it looks, but they don't like the way it feels. It's sort of instant dermabrasion. And one English woman I spoke to called it snog burn. Snog is English for kissing, and she said, I really don't like the snog burn.
Yeah, well, okay. People have started having, there have long been mustache competitions in festivals and so forth, barbershop quartets, things like that.
Yeah.
But people these days have started having beard competitions. They join clubs to celebrate their beards. This has become a real part of the social fabric as well as a fashion trend.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's a real impetus for male bonding. If you think of it, growing facial hair is about the only thing men can do that women can't, right? And so, you know, I think it's a little playful pushback on feminism, but very playful, a little rebellion. It's definitely an expression of masculinity and the fact that you have testosterone flowing through your veins. So guys are having fun with it. There are hundreds of web communities, and you're right, there are contests all over the world for facial hair. And a couple years back, I got invited to judge the National Beard Contest in the, you know, in the USA in Las Vegas. And these guys really took their facial hair seriously. There was a real spirit of camaraderie, but make no mistake, it was a real competition.
Mm-hmm. Let's take another call. We'll go to Daniel in Minong. Daniel, good morning.
Hello. I last shaved in late 1972. My last haircut cost $1.50. I do not trim either. My beard has few gray hairs. Does our habit of shaving originate during the Roman Empire, where beards were plucked out to differentiate the Romans from the barbarians?
Daniel, great question. Where did our habit of shaving come from?
Well,
doctor?
It goes way back. There's evidence that cavemen, you know, may have used clams to pluck their hair. And it
Ouch.
Is a bit of a misconception that barbarians has the same root as barb or the beard, you know, that they were always bearded. So that's a kind of common, maybe historical error that people make. But you're right, the Romans were big on shaving. And there were times when the free men could have a beard and the slaves were shaven, and then it would flip around and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So it was indicating sort of stature, power, free status or not. And one really silly example that you can see it's quite arbitrary is Alexander the Great said to all his men, you have to shave because if you're in battle, your opponent might grab your beard. Now, whether that made sense or not, that's what he proclaimed, and all of his men were clean shaven, you know? So,
sure.
Yeah.
Well, at close quarters, if somebody grabs your beard, they pretty much control you, I guess. Would be.
Yes, but, you know, it seems a bit far-flung to be.
So we talked earlier, mentioned, well, my wife didn't appreciate my beard, and you mentioned the woman talking about snog burn. How does facial hair affect relationships, doctor?
Well, it's a pretty important statement to change your face so dramatically. So, you know, I think men do it, but I do think they should probably consult their mates, you know. because some people love facial hair and some people hate it, and you know, it can be a radical change to your looks.
Mm-hmm. And now I notice that that now we're seeing flowers show up in beards as well. That seems to be another little bitty trend.
I think that's a lot of fun. I think this is, again, men just having fun with it, and I think it means we're freer to sort of do things around the way we look and groom and style. We're not so hung up with kind of a macho ethos of, you know, ethos of how we're meant to be as men. I like this trend that you can use your grooming, your facial hair to kind of be playful and express yourself in individual ways. I think that's a good trend.
So where's this all going? I mean, are beards, we talked about maybe beards have peaked, maybe this trend is going to wane a little bit, but it seems to me that we've always had beards. Are beards here to stay, or are we about to enter another era of clean shaven as the thing to be for men?
Well, I think this era of bushiness has gone pretty much for between 20 and 25 years, this wave of it. And I think, again, for the reasons your callers mentioned, if something becomes too common and ubiquitous, it kind of loses its power. And so I think we will start to see. And then, of course, fashion is always telling us to push the envelope, to do what isn't being done. So I predict you're going to see more and more very clean-shaven, kind of preppy-looking guys, you know, on the runways and magazines. Athletes will probably start doing it. And then I think we're going to go back to clean-shaven for a while. But, I think probably within 5 years we'll see more clean-shaven men. But I don't think this time that facial hair is really going to vanish altogether, because there aren't – it's just not as forbidden as it used to be. As I said, you couldn't have it in the workplace before. Now you can. It's your right pretty much in most places to have facial hair.
Well,
so it will stick around to some extent.
Yeah, I have to admit, every time I go to buy new razor blades, I think about growing my beard again. Wow, it costs a lot of money to shave. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's been a real interesting way to start our day. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, my
today.
Pleasure. I enjoyed chatting.
Alan Peterkin is a physician, author, and university professor based in Toronto and an expert on men's grooming and facial hair. Thanks to all of you who participated this hour. Thanks especially to Justin Williams, who produced this hour of programming. Robin Cherry handled on-air production, and Christy Taylor was my director. Stick around, more to come on the Joy Cardine program. We're going to talk about President Obama's foreign policy and what we think about it. That's today's big question on the Joy Cardine program, coming up next after 7 o'clock, so stick around. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network.